Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Now, Rob, I appreciate your patience because we are about 2 hours late to recording, mostly because 10 minutes before we were supposed to record, I decided to spill tea all over my computer.
Well, I welcome everyone, except for Kevin, because he sucks. fumble fingers McGee over there. You know, anything for the love of you and the show, Kevin, the show must go on, I believe.
It does. The show is the
expression that I think Colonel Sanders said. It was either that or I'm too drunk to eat this chicken.
Yep. I'm recording off of our editor's laptop that I had to go pick up and drive through rush hour. Basically, what we're saying is we care about you guys a lot, and we want to get this to you because there's a lot of crap going on in FPL. Probably the most notable, based on how reliable he'd been in fantasy of late, was the horrendous leg break of Seamus Coleman. Oof. If you haven't seen it, just don't. Just trust us. It was real bad. It was a double break. Tibia and fibula.
Yeah, just go watch Cisse's leg break. It's basically, or Demba Ba's leg break. It's
or just don't. Maybe just go watch something else. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's watched The Expanse. Apparently, it's pretty good. I haven't watched it yet either. I just have friends that tell me to. How about Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Also a good show. Rob, what's your favorite comedic show at the moment?
I don't have. I don't watch too much regular TV, really? To be honest with you. I don't have any time, dude. I usually sit here and watch sports or movies.
Oh, I like sports. All right, well, what's the best recent movie you've seen?
It's a good one. I don't know. I kind of went through my whole Oscar kick when the Oscars was on, but I haven't watched anything good recently.
Hey, Moonlight was good.
Moonlight was good. I liked the Arrival was good.
Oh, Arrival was great. I had never seen a movie that basically demands you watch it a second time.
Yeah, so you can figure this. It kind of has that, like, I don't want to ruin it for everybody, so I'm not going to say what's, you know, if you, like Kevin just said, if you watch it twice, you figure stuff out more. You pay attention to details.
Yeah, and I'm, not to out myself too much here as a crazy nerd, but Doctor Strange has always been my favorite comic character, and I actually didn't enjoy it the first time because I was so stressed about what they were going to do to it. Actually, much more enjoyed it the second time when I already knew it was set in stone and then was able to just be like, oh, that's cool. But they did some weird stuff in there. I don't think I'm going to spoil Doctor Strange too much. But like, Baron Mordo in the comics is a very bad guy.
Yeah, bad dude. He's a bad dude.
But in this one, I just thought they could have made him the villain and it just would have saved time. Whatever. We don't need to get into all of that. What we do need to talk about, let's start with Everton's defense. With the Seamus Coleman leg break, there's several ways this could go. Similar to Tottenham when Danny Rose got hurt, they could just switch to a back four initially, which would probably bring Mason Holgate to the four. But if they're going to try to continue to play this back three, there was a report earlier this week with quotes that said they might try to use Aaron Lennon as a wing back on the right side. Just curious to hear which way you'd prefer that to go, cough Holgate.
Yeah, I mean, from a price standpoint and a trust thing, I'd probably want something more defensive like a Holgate there. We've seen what Lennon has. We've seen what he could do. I don't think anybody is going to jump on that and bring him in and considering he's a midfielder and not give you the value of a defender if they do, you know, get the clean sheet bonuses and such like that. But yeah, at 5.5, Aaron, you know, 24 people have transferred him in right now. So Aaron Lennon's family, all 24 of them play the official game. Kudos to you. I really hope that they I think Holgate is the best fantasy option there because of his price. He's at four, you know, he's at 4.0, so he gets you that, you know, a nice cheap entry point into the Everton defense. Yeah, I can't even remotely even positively say that I'm gonna even go anywhere near to look at Aaron Lennon's name on a fantasy roster. But you know what? He'll come in, and if he does come in, he'll do something, and the whole world will know that Aaron Lennon is for real.
I will say, I also think it's the worst idea ever to play Lennon there.
Having
seen it somewhat work with Victor Moses, maybe. I realize that Moses is bigger and stronger, which obviously lends to that position a bit more. But we have seen weird players that weren't that great fit that mold lately.
That's true.
And Antonio Valencia as well was like an okay winger. All of a sudden, he's like a really good wingman. Anyway, I'm not saying I love it. I'm just saying...
Did you just say Antonio Valencia is an awesome wingman?
I mean, that's definitely the title. No, I said wingback. But, yeah, no, he might... Who do you think is the best wingman in the Premier League?
I'd take either Valencia or Marcus Alonso.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, not wingback, wingman. Or does it stay the same?
Wingman? Yeah. Like I want a guy that's gonna fall in like a grenade for me at like at the bar.
Or just help you with the girl you're working on. Either way.
See, that's tough. I'd have to find somebody that's similar. You know what? I'll go with Joe Allen. How about that?
Okay.
I can't go wrong with Joe Allen.
Dude, with the luscious hair, he's a little shorter, you know.
Popular with the Welsh ladies, you know, the Highland women maybe. I don't know.
Isn't the Highlands Scotland?
Whatever. he crosses over. It's only a border. It's only an imaginary border. Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know what we shouldn't talk about at all? Brexit. So moving on. yeah, so just kind of keep an eye on that Everton situation. In other formats, it's a lot easier because you'll know when lineups are announced and you can still, you know, bob and weave. But for this, yeah, I'd probably say, I'm sure a lot of people never ditched Holgate, which means they just lost some points. But anyway, I think we're all expecting that he will now be more fantasy relevant once more.
Yeah.
They also had Funes Mori get injured, so they're also, although he had kind of missed his spot, it's been Williams and Jagielka of late, but things not looking super great for Everton at the moment, after they had been looking very good for them. Also, over at Manchester United, things not looking super great. Both of their center backs get hurt, hurting each other in training. Smalling and Phil Jones are both going to be out for a little bit now. Are you excited maybe about the potential of Baye or Rojo or Blint, or is the fact that both of them are injured kind of decreasing their overall value as a defense?
Well, the funny thing is, I think as a fantasy asset, I think Marcus Rojo is probably their second best player. And now that these guys, Jones and Smalling, have injured themselves, it's bad because Rojo now loses his basically like sleeper appeal.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, everybody's going to be on the Valencia tip, and you know, everybody's going to be looking for that secondary option where the ownership and the price is a little bit cheaper. And Marcus Rojo is that guy. So from that standpoint, I don't like that he's going to basically, you know, lose the sort of quote unquote sleeper, you know, tag that's on him. Baye is interesting. You know, people really haven't seen enough of him in consistent game, like consecutive games to buy into him. But I mean, United have, if you're building for game week 34 and this is fantasy and you're supposed to be building, you know, towards the, you know, the Everest of game weeks, which is the double game weeks, you know, United does double in 34. So, I mean, if you're building from there and you're looking for options from here on to game week 34, you know, a United defender other than Antonio Valencia or even doubling up is not a bad idea. You know, I recommend Rojo. Baye is an awesome buy right now. But I mean, United, and they're up to the buildup of the game week 34 double game week, is West Brom, Everton, Sunderland, Chelsea, Burnley, and Man City. That encompasses the double game week. So, I mean, there's enough matchups in there that you can, you know, squeak out some value. I know the double game week, they're both going to be on the road, and one is against City. But, you know, City isn't going to scare me that much that I'm going to be like, you know what, I'm going to not build for two game weeks because one of them is against City. You know, there's not a lot of great options for game week 34 as it is right now with the three teams that are doubling, you know, United, Middlesbrough, and Crystal Palace. I mean, Crystal Palace's run into those games is god awful. And I actually wanted, we're going to touch on this a little bit later when we do start sits, but because I know you're a big Mamadou Sakho supporter right now. But
to be fair, that was one of my deadline day ones. I didn't understand why nobody was talking about it. Crystal Palace just added a top 10 center back to their team, and no one thought that would help.
He was just outcast because he just didn't fit with, you know, Klopp's system.
Yeah, and then they had that fight in the offseason. You know? Yeah, there was a whole lot of nonsense. But what didn't happen was he forget how to play football. He's a very good center back.
You know, but, I mean, getting back to the build-up for the double game week 34, because that's basically what everybody wants to know. They want to know what to do. I mean, but, you know, as I rate it right now, if you're looking for a defender this week and you're bringing one in, I'd probably, you know, I know Burrow doesn't have the greatest matchup on paper this week, but they also aren't awful, and they're not going to kill you also. So, I mean, you know, I'd probably look at a Burrow defender 1, the secondary United defender 2, and then completely avoid Crystal Palace from a defensive standpoint right now. I know you'll disagree a little bit.
Well, the matchups are garbage. Awful. So bad from here to the year out. I remember when we were talking about Sakho. We were just texting about it a week ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, dude, he's so good. And then we both looked at the fixtures. I was like, they're going down. Just straight up. I don't think we've run through it here on the show yet. Let me see if I can pull
it up. Their upcoming fixtures are Chelsea, Southampton, Arsenal, Leicester, Liverpool, and then Spurs. their double game week is Liverpool and Spurs.
So that's not fun. I think Wilfried Zaha will have a very fun time at a different club next year.
You know, it's funny, and I'll segue this, Kevin, right into our usual, you know, either or section, because this is my first one that I wanted to bring up, because you know, people are looking at the double game weeks. They want to know who to run the gamut with and gamble with. So my first one is, why are 18,000 people bringing in Mamadou Sakho with the fixture list I just mentioned? Chelsea, Southampton, Arsenal, Leicester, Liverpool and Spurs, compared to a Burrow defender who same fixtures, same game weeks. They have Swansea, Hull, Burnley, Arsenal, Bournemouth, and Sunderland. Whereas their most transferred in defender hasn't even had 5,000 in, and that's Ben Gibson.
Yeah.
I mean, from a standpoint right now, I know, you know, Crystal Palace has 3 consecutive cleans, and you know, Burrow is not the most trustworthy group of, you know, lads, do you want to, you know, encompass your fantasy roster, especially for a double game week? But you're gambling on a double game week. Would you rather right now have a Burrow defender or a Crystal Palace defender, knowing that, you know, Crystal Palace is coming off 3 and Burrow has that good lead up to the double?
Yeah, I definitely agree that Burrow do look an interesting option. My only frustration with them is they just kind of keep struggling with niggling injuries and people are just in and out of there. Like Fabio was a good option a while back. Friend was a good option for a little bit.
Barragán is back now. You know, Gibson is probably the staple, and he's the most expensive entry point into the Burrow defense. You know, I'm liking, if the double game week was right now and I'm building my roster for right now, Fabio is probably one of my 1 or 1A options to bring in, with Rojo probably being the second one. You know, that's basically a tie.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. If we're going to do either or, let's just do it. I have one for you. It's West Ham based. I really like Andre Ayew, but his price is a little higher in this format. Love him in other formats where his price has dropped more. So we'll stick in the sixes. Who would you rather have between Andy Carroll and Manuel Lanzini? Their matches coming up are actually pretty nice. It's Hull, Arsenal, and then 2 easy ones. Sunderland and Swansea, I want to say, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
Reversed. Swansea, then Sunderland. Let's see. Sorry, again, I'm all out of whack because of this computer switching. But Swansea, Sunderland, and Hull are all bottom 5 defenses. Mm-hmm. So that's real nice.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think we would both agree that you probably want someone from West Ham. Snodgrass isn't trustable at all. But of these two, between Lanzini and Carroll, would you rather have the provider or the scorer?
Well, you know, I'd probably lean in the midfield there, only because the forward options in 2 weeks are going to be muddled when Ibrahimovic comes back and, you know, Kane possibly comes back after the, you know, the fast 3 game weeks, you know, the 3 and 10 days. So you're basically going to be, you know, rostering rock stars up front. You know, it'll be Lukaku and a guy and a guy. So whoever you can fit financially into your team. And then basically you're on to week 34 and you're basically gambling on Ibrahimovic, which is probably going to be one of your strikers. So I don't think there's any room for Andy Carroll there. I know there's games in between now and then, but the only game that's intriguing between now and then for West Ham is the Hull fixture. You know, Hull, Arsenal, Swansea. I'd probably stick with the midfield there. I don't trust Lanzini enough to buy into him. But you know, if you're a Mikel Antonio owner and you're looking for a lateral change, Lanzini would be my move. But yeah, I don't think I would trust Andy Carroll. I just think there's too many better options that are staple, you know, staple forward options. You know, I'd probably rather own a Jermaine Defoe. I'd rather own Troy Deeney. I'd probably maybe even gamble with a Fernando Llorente. They have a nice little run of fixtures. Yeah. I just don't trust Andy Carroll to do it consistently enough to take up one of your three forward spots.
All right, well, we will definitely get more into that later. Another one that I have for you is at Chelsea. Fabregas seemed to have established himself in the team again. Wenger's just 20 minutes last week. Willian filled in for Hazard, played well. Will he keep his spot? Which of these two guys that are kind of on the fringes, on the periphery of the starting 11, would you rather have, or would you really rather just avoid both?
You know what? I'm as a Chelsea fan, I'm completely avoiding both. Because unfortunately, by the time somebody sees the starting roster, your lineups are locked and you're not going to be able to make a change. So that's the only bad thing. Because either guy may start and either guy might not start. That's the bad thing.
But you believe in William either of them if they do, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I the only problem with that is, you're probably still owning a Chelsea defender. You're probably either owning Hazard or Pedro through the midfield, and then you know Diego Costa is pretty much you know in play for most teams as well. So it becomes the conundrum of where am I squeezing that third Chelsea player into? You know, are you gambling? So basically, you'd have to take Willian or you know Fabregas over a staple commodity of Pedro, a Chelsea defender, or Diego Costa. That's a tough situation. I know you're saying just one of the two, but with the roster constraints that the way that they are, and you only get the roster three guys, I don't think either of them are in play fantasy wise, unless you're trying to gamble completely and go the anti. You know, Hazard route, the anti-Pedro route. Mm-hmm. I'd probably gamble on the anti-Hazard route more than the anti-Pedro route because I still think there's a little bit of meat on the bone for the differential for Pedro. But yeah, I like what they could do there. And Chelsea's run of fixtures are they're decent enough that I think that they could rotate. But the one thing to also consider is, Kevin, I was doing this a little bit of research here. And I was stumbling just on Chelsea players and what their prices are and how much they've gone down this year. Nathan Ake has gone down – is the biggest defender that's gone down this year since the beginning of season 10 now. He's now at 3.8. He's the cheapest defender, cheapest player besides backup goalkeepers in the official game. Say Chelsea win the next three games. It's feasible that in week 34 they can clinch.
Yeah, I mean – so. It's unlikely, but yeah.
And at that point, you kind of have to look at their roster. Are they going to start rotating guys in and out? Are we going to start seeing Kurt Zouma? Are we going to start seeing the Nathan Akes? Are we going to start seeing some of the you know the younger players, the players that aren't really Chelsea staple fantasy items become more relevant? And Chelsea does have a double game week in there that has yet to be. You know, set in stone. You know, then Nathan Schwal is gonna get some play. Kennedy may get some run. You know, we may even have a Nathan Solanke, you know, sighting. But I don't. I'm just saying that for the future because I know we were on the Chelsea topic and I just wanted to bring that up. That it's an interesting thing to think about. If Chelsea does clinch, you know, I don't think they sit everybody you know all at the same time.
Right.
But it's an interesting rotational thing to think about. That in 3 weeks, if they win all three games and you know, the second and third place teams, they tie or lose. You know, Chelsea can feasibly clinch by week 34. Yeah.
I, if memory serves, City and Arsenal both are about to play a lot of the other top five teams. So yeah, it will be interesting in Tottenham, obviously, without Harry Kane, although news that he may be back by the Bournemouth match, which, while a lot of fans are saying just rest him until the Arsenal match, I would love it if he played at the Bournemouth match, because I'm going to be there. So I would very much like it if he could make it back fitness-wise by then. Sticking with Chelsea, you were mentioning if you're going to own a Chelsea defender. Do you still want to do that? I can put it in the context of this, of Alonso versus Walker, but really the question is, do you have to own a Chelsea defender anymore?
I mean, you don't have to. No cleans in six. The only person that's contributing anything in the offensive end is Marcus Alonso. I believe he's got two assists in his last six, or a goal and an assist in his last six. Listen, I'm an owner of two Chelsea defenders, and it's frustrating.
Oh, you
because
never got
they've
out
given
under
up
that dang.
I never did anything. I never moved anything. I was going to move one this week if Coleman didn't break his leg. So that was going to be one of my moves this week. It was to go from a Chelsea defender to Seamus Coleman. But now I'll probably go from a Chelsea defender to, you know, Antonio Valencia, only because the money laterally makes a lot of sense and it sets me up for the future. It's difficult to do. I wouldn't recommend owning multiples. I'd go by ownership there. You know, it's funny. If you had to say that the highest scoring defender in the official game is Gary Cahill and you don't laugh afterwards because it's the truth, it's the truth. Gary Cahill is the highest scoring defender in the Premier League. I mean, everybody owns Alonso. A lot of people own Azpilicueta. Some people own Cahill and less people own David Luiz. You don't own multiples here. They're just – you can't trust them to do doubles, you know, to get you a clean sheet. And – the way that it's set up price-wise right now, that's probably going to be a mass exodus by game week 34 of Chelsea defenders because it's not going to – like I said before, it's not going to matter what they do because they're not going to – they may not play all the time. You know, Zuma is very interchangeable with Alonso and Azpilicueta. He could play both sides. So I'm slowly weaning myself off of the Chelsea defenders. Yeah. It's been my bane of existence right now on my own team, and I'm staring at the screen right now and looking at Alonso, looking at Azpilicueta, and I wish that they would transform into something else and not cause me the doom of using a transfer for them.
Fair enough. I gave you like 97. You got any guys for me to compare?
Yeah, I got one. It's a couple of midfield options. You know, Spurs has a nice matchup this week. You know, because you're a Spurs fan. You know, they're playing at Burnley. And Southampton is home to Bournemouth, so it's an interesting fixture because Bournemouth does have a propensity to ship goals. And Dusan Tadic is in form, according to certain factors of scoring. And Heung-Min Son is pretty much the third option being looked at Spurs behind Ali and Christian Eriksen. So would you rather have a 6.9 Heung-Min Son or a 7.0 Dusan Tadic?
Man, I'm real concerned about both of their playing time. Heung-Min Son, I think we mentioned this on our last show way ages ago, that Mauricio Pochettino tends to rest players that have either traveled long, like, say, to South Korea, or that are returning late, like Thursday before a Saturday match. But the fact that Jansen has the flu and Kane is still out makes it interesting because that's basically Poch's preference and he may not have that choice. It will be interesting to see. There's also a non-zero chance we start Ali up front, which would be very exciting for a lot of owners. But, man, Tadic just gets dropped randomly so much.
He does.
And Burnley have a top five defense at home. Southampton, I'm pretty sure, haven't kept a clean sheet in their last five. No, they're averaging two goals allowed over the last five. Tadic? Question mark? Tadic.
It's a tough one. It's not something, you know, it's not – they're both equally intriguing because there's differential with Tadic and there is – when he's on, he can be an asset. You know, and at 7.0, he's not breaking your bank. And then people are trying to play the chance game with the Spurs, you know, third priority scoring wise after Ali and Eriksen. You know, would you agree that Heung-Min Son is probably the third best fantasy option there from the forward, from that defense?
Yeah, I think Ali is probably the the one to get for
Ollie's
sure.
Ollie's one, Erickson two. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's, but, you know, with their upcoming fixtures, you know, Spurs has Burnley, Swansea, Watford.
They have a real nice run. Southampton. It's real nice till the end of the season. There's Arsenal and United are the only two question marks, and they're both at home.
And Southampton has Bournemouth, Palace, and West Brom in their next three. That's not awful, you know, doesn't sound awfully scary to me. But, I mean, like you said, playing time has always been the, you know, the Dusan Tadic, Gerald De La Feu
issue.
You know, issue. So,
well, hey, look,
I mean,
De La Feu is playing well for Spain. Isn't it surprising that he's somehow not better than Aaron Lennon last year or Tom Davis this year?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about. But, you know, if you're building long-term here and you're looking at your roster, I would go Dusan Tadic. I know that their double game week is going to be later in the season, and their double game week is going to include United and Arsenal, but they're both going to be at home in those games for Southampton.
Yeah. And Son's where they spot evaporates the second Kane's fit, and we're saying that could be
absolutely, 3 weeks. Absolutely. So we're all looking ahead on the show. I would lean Dusan Tadic. I asked you the question. You're saying Tadic.
Yeah, I'm saying Tadic with a question mark for sure.
So I mean, if you're building for the future and you're not using your transfer and maybe taking a minus here or there to fill in your roster with as many double game week players for the future, then it's definitely Tadic. 7.0 won't kill you. You could play him sparingly against teams. You could play him against Bournemouth. You can play him against Crystal Palace. You can play him against West Brom. You could sit him for the next two against City, Chelsea. Then you could play him against Hull. You know, it's like a tit for tat kind of thing, kind of roster move with these deuce on Tadic. All right, let's move on to the next one. This one's not really an either or, but it's kind of like a maybe. Kevin, who's the fourth best midfielder for Liverpool?
Fourth best midfielder for fantasy. Lallana and Wijnaldum? Or Milner?
Lallana's gone for a month.
That's true.
So.
Milner? I don't know. Milner is top five in accurate crosses this season, which is kind of nuts in all those penalty goals. Isn't it just Wijnaldum, though? Behind.
Firmino, is it? Coutinho, and Mane? It's definitely Mane, Firmino.
Coutinho in some order of
three. One, two, four. Right. Yeah. Whatever way you prefer, it's probably Mane 1, and then you could flip-flop number 2 and 3. But I have an interesting stat, Kevin. In the last four games, I did almost all the midfielders for Liverpool that are available. I took out Lallana because he's injured. He's not in the fray anymore. Okay, so these are the last four game point totals for the midfielders of Liverpool. Firmino has 18 points. Mane has 17 points. Coutinho has 13 points. Wijnaldum has 19 points. Emre Can has 19 points, and James Milner has 15 points. And now that Jordan Henderson is actually back and fit and training this week, he may factor into this equation, and he could be a viable option there. Now that Lallana is gone, it could shift things around. So from my standpoint, as the fantasy guru that I proclaim myself to be, I have a hat that doesn't say that. at his price at 4.7, Emre Can is the fourth best midfielder for Liverpool right now. Absolutely.
He scored a ridiculous goal in training today.
It's the second Cisse mention of the podcast.
This is just what we were going for. Welcome back to the fantasy Cisse table.
Welcome back to honoring Cisse to the Hall of Fame. Anunci Awards
we
Banquet.
We introduce you too. Okay, so he's the fourth best midfielder for Liverpool. Do you think that makes him ownable?
I mean, at 4.7, I mean, how is he not ownable at 4.7?
I mean, I see
that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to factor the price in, and you know, I know Liverpool doesn't double the rest. They don't double out the rest of the week. So the rest of the year,
only
so that they're stuck.
If my math is right, just looking at the names and trying to remember off my rankings, which again, not on this computer, I think it's four top 10 defenses the rest of the way, and one of them's this weekend with Everton.
It's Everton, home to Bournemouth, at Stoke, at West Brom, home to Palace, at Watford, home to Southampton, at West Ham, home to Middlesbrough.
I think Everton, West Brom, Southampton and Middlesbrough are all in the top 10, if memory serves.
Yeah,
but
and three of those games are at
No, that is interesting, man. I just really hate Sadio Mane a whole lot. He's turned me off on Liverpool a fair bit. But yeah, at 4.7, with those kind of matches, I mean, what I would assume happens is that Henderson fills the deeper role, and then that allows Chan to sit a little bit further forward? Question mark? Maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, for the price at 4.7,
I'm just saying, we've all fallen for this before, though. Like, the 4.8 defensive midfielder that scores a couple goals, everybody buys in, but the goals are in the rear view instead of ahead of you.
Totally.
I just can't get jazzed about it. Tailpipe.
Don't fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
Standard.
But, yeah, totally standard. And I have one more for you. Southampton has two doubles the rest of the week, rest of the year, because they're blanks, you know. So I know they are against Arsenal and United, like I mentioned before. But who are you trusting more for a defender from that?
Cedric.
Ryan Bertrand or Cedric?
Cedric. It's not even particularly close for me. The only thing that makes it a little close is Cedric's Tadicesh penchant to randomly not play a match. But I really like Cedric. I think there's a reason he's the one that's being courted by some of the bigger clubs. Bertrand has really just not had that great of a year as an actual footballer. I was way more excited about him.
He's got four assists in his last
Does he for real? Man, that's real not great. Remember how I said I wasn't as prepared today? A whole lot of that. Seriously?
Yeah. He's got four assists.
When did he do that?
He had assist against Swansea, he had two against Sunderland, and one against Tottenham.
Oh, I forgot they scored against us last week. It was kind of garbage, but yeah.
Yeah.
Man, against Sunderland, Swansea, man.
And he's got two cleans in his last six for Southampton, who's only had like seven on the whole year. So
What's their fixtures like? Bournemouth, Palace, West Brom. But things get rough after that for the next three.
Yep. Chelsea, okay. Liverpool, okay.
I'm just going to be honest. I have Cedric. And Bertrand isn't interesting enough for me to swap. But I can see where you're coming from. Because neither of them are super reliable defensively, even though they have good matchups, they probably only keep one, maybe two clean sheets out of those three matches.
Yeah.
So you're kind of relying on offensive return. Cedric, I think, is a natural better crosser of the ball, but Bertrand does get further forward. So it's just a whole bunch of evens for me, and since I already have Cedric, I'll just stick with him. But I will admit that I did not know that Bertrand was rolling like that of late.
Yeah, he's a poor man's Kyle Walker, is what he is.
I agree.
So, all right, that's all I have. I don't have any more for you.
All right, any price changes? Was anybody real dumb during the international break other than the Coleman injury?
Well, it's just started this, like, yesterday into today, but there's still been a lot, so I'll just run down the list. Gary Cahill's gone up. I think people are trying the anti-Marcus, anti-Cesar move. Antonio Valencia's gone up. For my money, he's maybe the best defender in Premier League now that Coleman is hurt. Bertrand has gone up, like I mentioned, four assists in his last five. Your boy Ben Davies has gone up. Rose sub, I believe that people are looking for the differential play there.
I will say, even I'm surprised that we haven't had official word from Tottenham yet. From basically a month ago, it was set that he was supposed to be back the first week of April, and there's just been no word, either positive or negative. That was my hesitancy, is when I lost Coleman, I thought about swapping down to Rose. But just because there's no word, I didn't. But I think people should also be hesitant on buying in on Davis, because it's entirely possible that it's just because it's been internationals, that tomorrow at Poch's press conference, he's going to be like, oh yeah, Rose is fit, and then that'll just ruin your day.
Yeah, absolutely. And then through the midfield, Alexis Sanchez has gone up. I think people, they stayed away and now they bought back in. I think he's the centerpiece or the cornerstone or, the keystone of building your roster to the double game weeks. They have two. So Alexis Sanchez, and he also doesn't hurt you because he's pretty good at this soccer thing. Joshua King, is there a better fantasy player, right? Is there a better fantasy
Lukaku,
player right now?
But that's it.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It flew midfield. How's that? Better?
Yep. That'll do.
Even though he could fall off the planet Earth like Matty Phillips.
But it wouldn't matter. I mean, that's the beauty of these like 5-whatever guys, is they can come on.
They're interchangeable.
Yeah. And the crazy thing, I don't think people are aware of how good Matty Phillips was. He's still top five on the season in assists and chances created.
Yeah,
it was nuts. Really speaking of West Brom, by the way, I don't think I'm mentioning them in any of my start sit stuff. But Chadley looked like he dislocated his shoulder on Belgium duty. Looks like Phillips is still out, and they're going up against Manchester United's defense.
We'll get to Matty P in a second because he may have gone down. Pedro has gone up. He's the anti, like I mentioned before, he's the anti Hazard. And then if you want to go deeper, look at the other options. You know, William Cesc. Juan Mata's gone up. I think Mata is this very, very sneaky play, and a lot of people are – this is a building for the double game week for United move. United also is missing a lot of players this week. Ibrahimovic is out. Pogba's gone. So Mata could be in line to shine this week. Christian Eriksen, Dele Alli have gone up. Duh. Lukaku's gone up. Duh. Vardy is really, really scorching hot right now, and Leicester is catching fire at the right time. Unfortunately, his price is still in the nines, which is just sad for fantasy. Jermaine Defoe has gone up, and Troy Deeney has gone up. I love the Defoe and Deeney matchup this week because Sunderland does play Watford. It's funny. I think both those guys score and basically negate each other, which would be sad because I like both guys from a fantasy perspective. Let's go right to the downs. Martin Olsen's gone down. He's injured. He's iffy for the weekend. I did see a report that he did do some light training today, so he's not, you know, out for the weekend yet. Laurent Koscielny, he got injured for France, right? Correct? Yeah, he's injured. That's why he went down. Alex Iwobi, I'm just throwing some bigger names out there. When's the last time Alex Iwobi did something fantastic in a Premier League game? Tweet me, at Smokey_Loogie, and show me the moment. Matty Phillips has gone down. Sad. He was a fan favorite of the show. He's still owned in 6.5% of leagues, though, so there's still that. Philippe Coutinho has gone down. Raheem Sterling has gone down, and Harry Kane has gone down. The thing about Harry Kane that's awesome is I hope he goes down like five more times, because I hope he's out for three more weeks and he goes down three more times, because that would be awesome for fantasy and awesome for everyone's budget to bring him back in.
Yeah, definitely some interesting things going on in there. Hey, Rob, want to take a commercial break hilariously late in the show?
Great. Sure. Well, we've been talking.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and we're back. In the interim, my computer still doesn't work. That's the update. The answer is still no. We may as well...
Kevin's coming to you live from a speak and spell somewhere in the greater Midwest.
I'm actually recording live in a library because I'm the only person that's been in one in a decade.
What's a library?
Exactly. It's where you put all your music from iTunes.
it's where you go and you pay 5 cents to make a copy.
Yeah, it's where you have to have a master's to work there. I don't know. It's a very strange thing, libraries here in the States. But my start, you're already going to hate. It's Andy Carroll. He's back and he's healthy and did have an assist last week. And he is hard to trust, which you mentioned. But his shot percentage is still solid. And IU seems to be coming on and he loves sending in a cross. And Hull haven't kept a clean sheet in five matches. It is Arsenal, the second one. I'm not sure if we're going to record again before the midweeks. I'm not sure what our recording schedule is, so I just thought it was important to let you know, like, all the coming things.
We'll get a quick one. Maybe we'll get a quick one in there.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just kind of see how everything breaks down. But, with the whole Arsenal, Swansea, Sunderland, you like a lot of those matches. And at just 6.3, only 4.5% owned, I'm willing to gamble on that again. I still had Gray, and so it's just an easy move for me. I'm willing to try it again. Because remember, earlier in the season, when I tipped him, I didn't actually bring him in. And then he had that good run. I brought him in, and then he got hurt. I was like, are you kidding me? So anyway, there's a little bit of that trying to recreate the magic there for me, admittedly. Jamie Vardy, I think you mentioned how high his price is.
Oh,
he's great in other formats, but at the nines, it's just too much in this format for me. In midfield, it's a name you probably haven't heard in quite some time. How about Juan Mata at 7.3? Mm-hmm. 2 goals and an assist in his last five. He's arguably the best creator at Manchester United. Mkhitaryan, the only other one that could even be in that convo. And he's a decent option anytime he's named in the 11. And he's done that for the last 4 weeks. And no Pogba, no Fellaini, no Herrera, no Ibrahimovic. There's a spot there on the pitch for him. I'm very confident absolutely. Of. And this is another matchup where they don't the team they're facing don't have a clean sheet in the last five in West Bromwich Albion. So I really like Juan Mata this week. I already mentioned West Brom struggles, so they probably won't have a chance to really get forward much. That's somebody I'm definitely worth and definitely think it's worth investing in. In defense, I like Tottenham, I like Chelsea, I like United. Those are the obvious ones. On the inverse of your Middlesbrough thing from earlier, I like Swansea.
Stealing all my things. You're stealing all my things.
I'm sorry. It's just one of those weeks, I guess. Fine. Well, then I'll put that to the side. I'll leave this one, guys, for you. But I think Holgate is a must-buy this week. I'm not sure if you really want to play him against Liverpool, but because of how low he's priced right now and because of the fact he may get that starting spot for the rest of the season, I think it's important to lock him in now.
Yeah, he may get it. That's the
true,
you know, the question.
True, but at that price, I'm willing to bet that he will.
I mean, the way you know Ronald Koeman is acting right now, that he's yelling at Ross Barkley to either sign or get the hell out of here, you know, sign an extension or go, or just go, is crazy. But whatever. onto my starts. I'll start in defense because Kevin mentioned him. I like Swansea this week. I think Middlesbrough just cannot find the net consistently at all. Swansea does play a little bit better at home, not fantastically better, but better. There's definitely differentials all around. Stephen Kingsley is only on 9.3% of leagues, only because he's 3.9. That's the only reason he's owned there. If Olsen does play, Kingsley may sit, but Olsen's still a good buy at 4.4, and he's still only owned in 1% of leagues. So look out for Swansea defenders. Through the midfield, Kevin mentioned it before, just in passing. I kind of love Andre Ayew, even in this format, at 7.1. I think there's enough dead meat through the mid-ranges of the midfield rankings. Like, I'd start Andre Ayew this week over Raheem Sterling. How about that?
Ayew, I know we already did this. Ayew versus Barkley.
You know what? I'd want to hold on that. I want to see how Everton reacts to this Coleman thing. I really do, because I think that they can honestly shift things up. And the things that Barkley's been doing – and, you know, when we cover stuff on our DFS show, I think that Barkley does a lot of things that are ulterior to the official game that aren't getting noticed, that should be getting noticed. So I want to wait to see how Everton shifts up their formation, if they do it at all, before I make that. But Andre Ayew this week has 3 goals in his last four games. But the funny thing is, those 3 goals came in less than the amount of minutes in two games total. So that's a good thing for Andre Ayew. And onto the forwards, I'm throwing Jamie Vardy out there. I think it now is the time to buy Jamie Vardy at 9.8. And I'll give you a perfectly good reason, Kevin. You're waiting for Harry Kane to come back. Harry Kane is a substantially better fantasy option than Jamie Vardy rest of season, regardless of when Harry Kane comes back. But you have to allocate that money somewhere at least neutral when you're about ready to wild card or you need to do a transfer to bring him in. By the time Harry Kane comes back in, Kane should be in the high 10s. Vardy will be at 10 because Vardy's next coming fixtures are pretty, pretty, pretty decent. That you're going to be like, okay, I can roll with him for, you know, 2-3 weeks. And then when Harry Kane comes back, I can just go laterally and the money won't make a difference. You know, Leicester's next 3 or 4 games, Stoke, Sunderland, at Everton, at Crystal Palace. Those are the next 4 games. And that's basically about when Harry Kane should be coming back. So from that standpoint, I'm trying to look at it as an inverse property of transferring money from one to another, and then you're not hurting yourself. With those 4 fixtures, I think that Vardy could probably score in 3 of them and give you decent enough value. And, you know, he's owned in 10.9% of leagues, but if you take away the dead teams from the fantasy universe, he's only owned in 4.8% of leagues. So There's some meat on the fantasy bone. That's the expression of the day. I hate to break the news to you. So on to my sits. I'm worried about Manolo Gabbadini getting back and being healthy. I think Shane Long may get the run in. I think that they may sit him this game because of the three games in 10 days. He's still a little dinged up. So if you're buying into the Southampton striker, and you want to Shane Long this week, if I don't, is he actually on the DFS?
Yeah,
they'll be on the DFS slate this week. Shane Long is an interesting guy to play long on. How's that?
I don't think we're going to be able to record our DFS because all the video files and everything are on my other computer. But he was myself for that matchup.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, look, we disagree sometimes, and that's fine. You know, it's how you work through your struggles. It really makes you stronger as a couple.
Should we sing Friends? How many of us have
them? We're guy friends.
So, where was I? Oh, midfield. I went through that whole big ad nauseum stat about Liverpool midfielders. I don't want any of them. I don't want to own any of them. Liverpool doesn't double the rest of the year, and there's better investments that you could use for that 9.7 from Mane all the way down to 7.5 in Wijnaldum. None of them score consistently enough. They basically – the best player on there for the last four games averages 4.4 points a game. That's not great. So Liverpool middies are a sit for me. And then on defense, it's an obvious one because they're playing the best team in the league, and it's Crystal Palace defense. Yeah. But people building for the future are investing in the Crystal Palace defense. Look at I mentioned the number of Mamadou Sakho transfers in before. He's 18,000 in right now, and he's not the only one getting transferred in. I mean, you know, Joel Ward is getting transferred in. James Tompkins is getting transferred in. All because they have a double fixture. It doesn't mean that they're awesome. I think, Kevin, you know, I don't want to steal your expression. If you know, even Patrick van Aanholt, he's coming back from injury. He's the most expensive guy there. He's still being brought in. He's been brought in over 1,200 times already. So, I mean, don't do it to yourself, people. Like, be smarter. Listen to us. You know, stay in school. Don't be a fool.
Do hugs, not drugs. All right, for my sits, I'm going to start with Marcus Rashford up front. I've seen some people touting him this week, and I kind of don't understand. Did you know that this season in the Premier League, he's yet to have more than 2 shots on target in any match?
Yep, I believe it.
He's going to start, and I do like Mata, and it's possible Rashford is on the end of that assist. But there are just a lot of other guys I like at this price range that are going to have a job for more than 2 weeks. So yeah, I'm not really a fan there. In the midfield, I mentioned earlier how frustrated I was with him. But Sadio Mane, I told people to hold on to him against City because, you know, they just got ripped apart by Monaco's pace. I was like, oh, hey, Mane has a lot of pace. That should work again. And then he did basically nothing in a very up-tempo match that should have suited him. Some of the underlying stats are still very kind to Mane, but at this price range, you aren't looking for underlying stats. You're looking for actual performance. So yeah, I just can't. He just doesn't promise those right now. For defenses, I don't like they're all playing each other. Liverpool, Everton, City, Arsenal. I just think both of those games have plenty of goals in them. So.
Yep.
Yep. That's it for me. So what have you done?
Nothing. I'm looking at my team right now. You know, I only got back into the fray of looking at my – I kind of took a break from looking at my team for 4 days.
So did I.
I
didn't even watch internationals every day, which I typically do.
Yeah. I mean, I watched internationals. I watched the U.S. last night with a couple of mates. But, yeah, one of the first move I'm making this week is Valencia in for a Chelsea defender. That's the one move I'm making this week. That's definite. If I make another move – and this is a great time with the – you know, stress this with the listeners at home. If you made it this far in the podcast, thank you. Now is the time with 3 quick fixtures in 10 days that it's smarter to take a minus when the games are faster because you see the rosters faster in front of you. So you can make faster decisions. But I'm going to give you a caveat there. Make one move for the week at hand and make one move for the future. So yeah. If you bring in,
so like the Holgate thing, where you aren't really playing him this week, but bring him in now.
You know, if you need to make 2 moves. All right, Dele Alli has a great matchup this week, and I think he may feature up top by himself. Dele Alli is this week's move. And then if you need a defender, and I don't always, you know, recommend transferring in defenders too often, but Antonio Valencia is a future move as well as a present move because of United's double in game week 34. So you're basically taking a minus now, but if you string that across the span of when you're going to use Valencia, it's going to negate his value. So do yourselves a favor. If you're going to make multiple transfers this week, do one that's going to help you now, and then either one or two that's going to help you down the road, and it'll string out the minuses and make it not feel as bad when you pull off the Band-Aid. So I'm probably bringing in Dele Alli this week, and I'm bringing in Antonio Valencia for sure.
Yeah, like I said, I was worried about the Rose Davis situation, but I had to pull the move before Coleman's price started to drop, so I just did Coleman to Walker, who gets forward a load. Not a great crosser of the ball, but he just has so much time up there that sometimes it works. And a clean sheet against Burnley seems likely, regardless of what's going on there. So that's the move I made. As for captains, I know it's a big profile match, but I don't think that means it's a bad choice. I have the C on Lukaku. Hard to bet against him at the moment, considering putting the vice captain on Sigurdsson or King. But I think Lukaku is just the obvious choice for me this week. Cost is also an option if you're into that kind of thing, but eh.
He's a little wobbly. He picked up a little nick, and I'm not nervous that he's not going to play. I'm just nervous that he's not going to. I don't know if he's going to play a full 90 because there's three games in succession there. You know, Hazard is definitely not going to see all three games. For sure. I can guarantee that.
Which is another reason why that William Fabregas thing gets messy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if Lukaku is the I think the contrarian play to or the I'm sorry the white bread the white bread play of the week because he's been on such good form. I think if you have brass balls the size of anybody that you'd has brass balls. Josh King is the play for captain against Southampton. I'm probably a little different. I'm chasing points in my mini league. So, like I said, I'm probably bringing in Dele Alli, and I may just slap the C on him.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, once you take negatives, it's always interesting to put the captain on that guy because clearly you want them in. Okay. Well, that's it for us. As I said, I'm not sure when we're recording next. We might try to get something in Sunday. That would mean it would be up to you by Monday. If not, we'd probably record right after the Wednesday matches midweek. But, Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can get at you in the interim?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. That's Loogy. Or you can find my writings about soccer. And since baseball season is less than a week away, on Razzball.com, I cover saves and steals there. Basically, everything you want to chase in your fantasy league, I write about. And then I tend to write about fantasy soccer, which you're listening to right now, so you're welcome.
Hey, who do you think has a better season, Eric Thames or Kevin Kiermaier?
I'm going to take Kiermaier only because I think Thames. I don't think his KBO stats
are going to translate. Specifically, the power
and power, and he does have some speed potential there. But I was actually. Reading today that there's a guy in Milwaukee that's going to win the left-handed platoon there at first base. So he may steal some bats there. Hold on. Give me one second. I'll find him.
While this is happening, I'm waiting, counting down the minutes until they try to trade Ryan Braun so I can see my boy Louis Brinson up in there.
Jesus Aguilar. He's a former Indians prospect. Yeah, he's hitting .466 with 17 RBIs in this spring, and he's basically won the backup first baseman job there. And I think he could push Timms for at bats. You know, Timms is a quantity guy. If he gets 600 to 650 at bats,
25 plus, sure,
he's going to get you 25 home runs, but he's going to kill you in batting average. He'll probably bet you .245, maybe get you 15 to 20 steals. You know, but if Aguilar can get you .250 to .300 at bats. You know, Tim doesn't look as sexy. He may be just a basic fifth outfielder then, and maybe waiver wire fodder by the All-Star break.
That would be real sad. But they need to get Brinson in their stat. Kind of similar to the Pirates, absolutely. Where we need to get Meadows up pretty quick. Yeah. But it won't happen until Kutch and Braun move for their respective teams. All right. Well, that is fun. We left you with a little dose of baseball there. I have my dynasty draft now that I'm going to have to try to remember my ESPN login. Oh, wait, no, it's Yahoo for that Dynasty League. But anyway, I am at Kevroff on Twitter. You can also find this podcast at EPL Roundtable on Twitter. I'm also the fantasy writer for Goal.com, so go check that stuff out. There will be a Superstars and a Super Scrubs double post this week. What else are we doing? I don't know if we're going to be able to do the video this week, but just check our Twitters and we'll let you know what's going on with that DFS-wise. But thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully your teams do well this week. Hopefully my computer is alive by next week, and we'll catch you then.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.